Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. Madeleine Peru is an American jazz singer and songwriter who began her career as a teenager on the streets of Paris. She found mainstream success in 2004 when her album Careless Love hit, and she's celebrating that album and the songs collected on it in her pandemic-delayed Careless Love Forever tour.
Love, oh, careless love. You fly through my head like wine. You wreck the life of many a poor girl, and you let me spoil this life of mine.
Is the type of timeless and expressive singer who transports listeners with the emotionality of her performance. The Careless Love Forever Tour will find Madeleine Peru at the Mehewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts on Friday, May 27th at 8 p.m., and she joins us now. Madeleine, welcome to the Roundtable.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So you are going on a very big tour supporting a re-release of your fantastic album, Careless Love. It's the Careless Love Forever Tour. It was, of course, maneuvered, impacted by the pandemic. Are you looking forward to it? Do you feel like you're ready?
Well, as a friend of mine always said, I stay ready. This is this experience of being in a room with people, with musicians, with listeners, with dancing feet, or whatever, you know, you want it to be. It's the definition of music, really, is being in the same room. So I couldn't be more thrilled to have the opportunity to do it some more and to do it with the songs that I know well and that I love. I love the songs on Careless Love very much. You know, I discovered, you know, it's the first time that I ever sang anything by Leonard Cohen. It's like being able to revisit a little bit of my earlier life, a little bit of my innocence.
How have your relationship to the songs, what you feel in them when you perform them, how has that evolved or changed in the intervening years from when you first recorded them?
I think it's sort of, I've gotten to the point where they are very old friends to me. The song, you know, begins when you first encounter a song that you want to sort of embody and you want to become the song, and then you want to you struggle a little bit with any questions about what the song means and whether or not you need to answer them, and then you get to the point where, you know, you can explore. For example, with Dance Me to the End of Love by Leonard Cohen, there are so many interpretations of each verse. There's imagery and action. Dance me, it's a command. So it's, you're already among people. You're in a, you know, you're in a group of people that are dancing either at a Jewish wedding or at a very tragic place where you're all together and you're being forced to be together. And I think that a song like that, with these lyrics, with all the imagery and the sort of undertones of storytelling, but also of discovery of what love is as well. So it's an intimate and poetic song. You can go through all of that. As you get older, I think you think about love differently, and, you know, references to sex might be more exciting, you know, in some ways, and in other ways it just might be, you know, very beautiful and more separate, not as much in focus, for example, or the appreciation for the moment as it's happening can, you know, I think comes more essential to understanding what the song is, I think, where I am now. But I guess that the song changes with you as a person, and it's one of the greatest blessings, I think, of being a singer, is that if you can find just one song that really, not even being a singer, just anybody that wants to sing, if you can find if you can find a song that is that you can align with your own person, it's a way of checking in with yourself over time, isn't it? As you grow older and change, and your attitudes change, or your heart changes, or whatever it is. To be honest, I think it's one of the reasons I think of music as a spiritual place.
Dance me to your beauty with a burning violin. Dance me through the panic till I'm gathered safely in. Lift me like an olive branch and be my homeward dove. Dance me to the end of love. Dance me to the end of love. Let me see your beauty when the witnesses are gone. Let me feel you moving like they do in Babylon. Show me slowly what I only know the limits of. Dance me to the end of love. Dance me to the end of love.
I know that this evokes another album title of yours that we aren't exactly discussing today, but it's like having an anthem, which of course can be a very loaded word depending on how nationalistic or jingoistic you're feeling at the moment. But a personal anthem travels with you through life, and sometimes you do have to shed them because you realize you have changed from when you last most identified with that song.
Exactly. I mean, it could be, I think that the personal and the political have a lot of gray areas between them, and that they can interact, but they can just also just be simultaneous for a lot of people in a lot of ways, and we don't necessarily think about it all the time, and hopefully we don't have to dissect all of that stuff to realize that songs, art, poetry, musical themes, you know, anything that is a creative human experience, or that is a way of expressing the human experience, is a good reference for checking in with yourself and saying, well, who am I, you know? So I think the song Anthem, which is also by Leonard Cohen, and mm-hmm. it's the song that I recorded on the last record that I released before this one in 2018, has the same quality. You know, it's something that you can, not just the feeling of listening to that song and go, oh yeah, I remember I was such and such a place and time in my life when I heard that, which is what's, you know, that's one magical aspect to music. But you can also get into the lyrics and the storyline of the song and go, huh, I think I never thought it meant that before, or it means this, right. Just like reading a book over again, or I'm probably not saying anything new, but it's turned into being, for me, it's my understanding of what all of the spiritual and religion is about too, because this is the action that we take in religious services, I think, but, you know, minus some of the dogma. But I think with art, you can get to that same place. In fact, I think that's why religion uses art so much in order to wake us all up.
So you did put out Anthem in 2018. You were born in the U.S., you were a teenager in France. So you have a removed perspective for part of your life about what, you know, or a distant perspective on what America is and means.
When you talk about being from overseas, and you said what is a, you know, and you might have a different attitude on what is America. Yeah. It reminded me of the Jacques Brel lyric, which is actually it's in French. So and I didn't record it on a record of my own, but I recorded it.
Bien sûr, il y a les guerres d'Irlande et les peuplades sans musique. Bien sûr. Tout ce manque de tendre, il n'y a plus d'amiens.
I recorded on a Jack Brel tribute album a few years back, and the song is called Voir un ami pleurer, which means to see a friend cry. It's the title. Mm-hmm. And one of the first verses is, you know, we all know about the wars in Ireland. We know about the tragedies of the world. Of course, there's no more America. That's one of the first things he says. Il n'y a plus d'Amérique. There is no more America, which is a very striking way to put it, because he's referencing the dream, the right. dream that everyone that's not from America makes of it. You know, people, and he had other songs before that saying, like, when he was in love with somebody, she was his America, his mon Amérique à moi, my own, my very own little America, was the way he referred to a beloved. And it was just an example of how the world sees this country, or saw it. I mean, mm-hmm. according to Jacques Brel, it's in the past tense, and he was making a point that, okay, I don't believe in that anymore, you know? So what is it? I mean, obviously now we don't need to decide what America is, really, because if you're looking at it from the outside, then you have to realize that it's a very personal, it's different for everyone. And of course, everyone can have completely different perspectives and still be right when it comes to the dreaming about something. Well, what's really happening on the inside of the country is, you know, I think is also, it's possible to find out and look at the truth. And so I like to pay attention to that. But it's not necessarily even the truth. Like, you know, I live in New York City, and I recently told somebody that no matter how depressing or how defeated one may feel when things are not going the way we think they should be going, I can walk outside onto the street in this city, especially in my neighborhood, and ask anybody, and most everyone is an immigrant of recent, you know, times, and ask them how they feel about America. And they say, it's the best country in the world. They all say that. Everyone will say that to me. My grandfather, who came here as a first generation, said that. My grandmother said it too. And I didn't agree with their politics. But I have to respect that there's got to be some truth. There's got to be some real concrete salt of the earth truth in that statement.
If I read your sort of timeline correctly, and obviously you will correct me if I'm wrong, you were already singing before you heard Billie Holiday or Ella Fitzgerald?
Yeah. I wanted to be a singer.
Of course. And you are. I mean, your voice is so stunning. So stunning. Which, of course, you've been complimented on it for a while now, but I don't think that should stop. What does it feel like to sing the way that you sing, knowing that it's hard for you to name a way it would feel differently because you've always sung like this?
Well, you're so very kind. What you're saying to me is, you know, I take it very seriously, and I really appreciate, and thank you so much for being so caring with me.
You're very welcome.
What does it feel like to sing? That's a great question. I think that even on the worst day, when I'm having trouble croaking out a note, it's always better than just talking. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, I think it does.
it just feels great. But I think that one of the reasons I wanted to sing was not only because it feels great, but it feels great and it's meaningful, or can be meaningful. It's an all-encompassing experience. You know, if you can sort of multiply every layer of what singing does. It communicates between people. It makes you feel like someone's listening, or it makes you feel heard. It teaches you patience, because you have to do everything, has to be experienced in time. You can't sing a song the way you yell. You can't just yell, "Hey!" It's part of singing, but it's not singing yet. So you're forced to be a little bit more self-aware. So there's a practice to it, an innate experience. There's the resonance in your body. There's the fact that it sort of makes you aware of the acoustics around you, so that your ear is heightened as much as the resonance in your body. But this communication with others, this idea that you could be communicating, but you're not forcing hopefully when you're singing, it's not like yelling where you're forcing people to listen to you. Hopefully it's something very subtly powerful and strong enough to sustain this sound, but never communicating the wrong thing. You're still there. You know what I mean? Like it's still a social experience. Like how you say hello to somebody, if you choose to shake hands, or some people say, "Oh, I'm a hugger," you know, or whatever it is. Like, those are all social decisions that we make in order to feel comfortable ourselves, and also to present ourselves to others. And the thing with that is that the reason we make those choices is just to get the desired result. And sometimes it's like, "I just want you to hear me." And so right. you're just trying to sing so somebody can hear you. But sometimes there's all kinds of things happening at once, socially and emotionally and all of that. And, you know, and that's where the great singers come in, you know, where I listen to somebody like Marian Anderson. I've been listening to Marian Anderson recently. And of course, Billie Holiday is the singer that gave me the skills. You know, I was trying to learn to be a singer, not just to sing, but to be a singer. And it was listening to Billie Holiday that gave me the formula, where she says, "Look, how would you say this? In the way that in speaking to someone, how would you say these words if you were just talking to them in the most genuine, earnest, humble way, that in just who you are, being yourself? How would you say them in the way that you want them to be heard?" Oh, and in terms of Billie Holiday, if you need to show tragedy, the kind of tragedy that people don't talk about, can you talk about tragedy? Here's a way to talk about tragedy. Here it is. It's by singing it. And because she makes the singing so simple, she allows the listener, I'm talking about the way she changes melodies, not that she's a simple singer, I don't think that at all, but I'm saying that she simplifies certain aspects of the delivery enough so that the listener can focus in on the little nuances of tragedy, the little tonal qualities, the little yelp at the end of a word, just that added quality of listen to the tragedy, recognize the tragedy. And people don't want to talk about tragedy, so she made it so that you didn't have to talk about it. You could just recognize it by singing it and listening to it. That's the formula that I needed when I started singing. I needed to know if there's a way to talk about these things in music, because otherwise I couldn't go there. I mean, I needed to be able to deal with problems. You know, in fact, I didn't have any other way of dealing with problems as a young teenager, because like a lot of teenagers, music or art becomes your only sort of solace in a world where you're facing this, you know, this becoming, where your identity has to be formed, and you're not necessarily pleased with the status of the world that is receiving you, you know?
Right.
Madeline, it has been a real pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for your music and for your time today.
And it's an honor to have your ear. Thank you.
Madeline Peru will perform at the Mehewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts on Friday, May 27th at 8 p.m. To learn more, visit mehewi.org or madelineperu.com. As both of those URLs may present spelling questions to the uninitiated, we've posted both links along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. A deluxe reissue of Peru's album Careless Love is available from Kraft Recordings. I'm Sarah LeDuc, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
En écho de la demeure, là-bas sous le ciel clair, il existe une cité au séjour enchanté. Et sous les grands arbres noirs, chaque soir, vers le s'en va tout mon espoir. J'ai deux amours, mon pays et Paris. Manhattan est belle, mais à quoi bon le nier? Ce qui m'ensorcelle, c'est pareil tout entier. Le voir un jour, c'est mon rêve joli. Un jour, c'est mon rêve joli.